All right, so we are on the air. All right, so first, a few shots that were sent in. One of them, very relevant for the summer, upcoming summer. Are you allowed to suntan on Shabbos? Meaning you get into your bathing suit and go out to the beach or into the roof. Can you suntan? So it was discussed by the heavy duty play skin. Is there an issue of dyeing your skin? Right, you're not allowed to dye colors, dye things, D-Y-E. Is that an issue over here? So they seem to rule that out. It doesn't seem to be a problem of dyeing, but it definitely comes out that you shouldn't do it. It's not Shabbistic, which means to say it's usser, I'm not going to say the word usser, but to say appropriate, it's not appropriate. So if you feel the need, try to do something else. If you can't, it's better to do that than other things. But it's definitely.
Hey,
now
Rebbe, that's, yeah.
Yes.
Go on, Rich.
Yes,
going for a walk, getting a suntan while you're doing something else, no problem.
Great question. They discuss that. They say going for a walk is Shabbos, like, that's fine. And if you get a tan in the meantime, that's also great. So if you feel the need for a tan, then do that. Go for the walk. All right. Now,
what? Rebbe, Shabbos Yom Menucha. Ein Menucha Gedolei Mizu.
Yeah, you could have Menucha, but you could have with your pants and your shirt on, okay? Anyway, all right, here we go. Hello, Husky Broder from England. All right, Shaila number two sent in was, hello. Are you allowed to light Shabbos candles and then drive to shul or drive to your meal? Right, normally when a lady lights Shabbos candles, they're Makabel Shabbos. It's assumed Kabbalah Shabbos. If, however, they want to drive to the meal or to shul, that's fine, but it must be two things. First of all, they must stipulate before they light the candles. I am lighting the candles, but I am not being Makabel Shabbos. They need to say it verbally or at least mentally. They have to positively think about it or say it before they light the candles that they're not being Makabel Shabbos. A man, when he lights candles, is never Makabel Shabbos, so there's no need. But when a woman lights candles, she's Makabel Shabbos unless she stipulates that she isn't, and then she can drive to shul. The other thing that they make sure is that you're not going to drive on Shabbos. And therefore, don't light 18 minutes and then start driving. If you're going to drive somewhere, make sure you light a half hour earlier, whatever it is, that it will give you enough time to be settled in your location before Shabbos starts. Okay, another
Shabbos. Rebbe, when is a man Makabel Shabbos?
A good question, Kenny. A man Makabel Shabbos when he says, I am Makabel Shabbos, or when he davens Mariv, or when he says Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Okay, either one of those.
God, when you say daven Mariv, you mean the Shemon Ezra?
I mean when you start Mariv, Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu,
okay.
Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, or when you say I am Makabel Shabbos.
And if you're not doing any of those things, let's say you're just sitting down on your couch and the sun's
then,
going down.
It'll automatically happen at sunset, Shkia. That's going to automatically happen. And according to some people, it may happen a little bit earlier. Once you've like sat down and said, okay, even without verbalizing it, like you stop from doing malacha, that may be also the start of Shabbos. But
got it, wonderful.
All right. A third Shabbos sent in is moving doors on Shabbos. Now, I don't mean picking them up and moving them. I mean doors that automatically move because of the sensor. So you're not allowed to go to a building that has a sensor door and it opens for you. That you're not allowed to do. But what happens if you need to get into that building? That's kind of where you live or that's where your meal is and there's no other entrance to that door. So in most hotels or from whatever areas for sure will have a door, a manual door you can just go in and out. But there are some scenarios where all there is a sliding door. So you're not allowed to go in yourself. What you could do is hint to a guy and just like do some monkey motions that you need to get in. Maybe he'll figure it out, maybe not. If he does, so then you need to follow as close as possible to him. Hello, Alex, we're discussing going through an electric sliding door. So you can motion to a guy, you can't tell the guy to open it for you, but you hint to him, oh, it's our Sabbath, I can't open this door. And then follow without social distancing right behind him and get in to be able to go through the door. Yes, sir.
So sometimes on our Shabbos walk, we'll walk by a store that the doors will open if we walk too close to it. Do we have to be careful of that? We don't have intention.
No, that's right. So Rosh is saying like this. Sometimes when you go for walks, besides doors, you have lights. A lot of people have like these electric lights. Hello, Kiki, and hello, Harel. We'll have lights. Harel, hello. We'll have lights that will go on automatically, or doors that open automatically, like this. You definitely, if you know about them, you cannot go there. If you do not know about them, so then you didn't care about it, you don't know what's gonna happen, you're not gonna go to Gehenna for that. But if you do know, you definitely can't go there. Now, the scenario we're talking about is you wanna walk into a building and the building has that door, so then you can't do it. You have to motion to a guy, hint to him, and then follow right behind him, and then he will, and then you walk in and, hello, Dan, hello, Moshe. And so you will walk behind him. Now, what the shy that came up was, let's say it's a Jew who does not keep Shabbos. So there you can't hint to him to do it. You're not allowed to have a guy, sorry, you're not allowed to have a Jew do anything for you. The question is, can you even benefit from it? So there's a big debate. And in this scenario, in many scenarios, not. In this scenario, you could benefit from it. Very tricky, but if there's no other choice, you could benefit from it. Okay? That's a wrap on the three Shilas. Again, okay. Number one, I'll do a quick wrap, Rich, and then I'll get back to you. Number one, sun tanning on Shabbos, mutter, but not appropriate. When taking a walk, no problem, get your tan. But yeah, don't take a walk in your bathing suit. Take a walk in your Shabbos clothes, and if you also get a tan, that's fine. Yeah, that was for you, lady. Number two is that when lighting candles, a man is not makabel Shabbos, a woman is. If she wants to go somewhere and drive somewhere, after lighting candles, make a condition that she's not be makabel Shabbos, and then you can drive. And a man or a lady, in that case, will be makabel Shabbos with davening or with verbally saying that she's makabel Shabbos. Number three is going through electronic doors is usher. You cannot set off that motion on purpose. If you need to go through, hint to a guy that he'll open it and you follow close behind him. Do not hint to a Jew. But if a Jew did it, you can follow behind him and benefit. That's a wrap. Yes, Rich.
Got it. No, that was a question.
Okay. Now we'll move on to tonight's program, which is Hilchos Pesach. So as I've said in the last few weeks, last year I did a thorough 25 minute shiur on Hilchos Pesach, thoroughly through each topic. I'm not doing that this year. Anyone who wants them, I'd be glad to send it to them if you ask me to. What I want to do just this week is do a quick wrap on every part that's most practical, and maybe we'll bring up other shilas, and then we can discuss them at another time. All right, so we're going to start with cleaning for Pesach. Make sure you remember this rule forever. To eat a crumb on Pesach is usser. You're not allowed to eat a crumb. However, to have in your house a crumb is mutter. The only chiyuv is you must remove from your house any chametz that is a kezias or more. A kezias is loosely a size of a small matchbox. Small matchbox, that's around a kezias. It's like the equivalent to three small olives nowadays. Whatever it is, a small matchbox size, a rugalach, that's like the kezias size. And therefore, you must remove any chametz that is a matchbox size, a kezias and up. But you do not need to remove any crumbs or Cheerios or things like that. You don't need to worry about that. Nachum, that was quick. You don't need to worry about that, okay? Now, however, if there's a chance that you're gonna come to eat that Cheerio, you must get rid of it. Like if the Cheerio is hanging out in your kitchen and maybe Nachum's baby's gonna eat it, or you're gonna eat it, or someone's gonna eat it, you must remove it. But so again, there's two separate worlds. There's the eating world, you can't eat anything. And then there's the chiyuv to destroy and get rid of, that's from a kezias and up. And therefore, when we're going to clean for Pesach, in the kitchen, in the areas where you will come to eat, you have to be very careful, more careful in those areas. Because in those areas, you may come to eat and therefore make sure you get rid of everything. Hello, Rafael. We're starting the Pesach part right now. So therefore, removing chametz from the kitchen, etc., must be even on anything that you may eat, small. But throughout the rest of the house, we're not likely to come to eat it. As long as it's less than a kezias, you don't even need to remove it. Okay, now. Any place that you're going to sell to a guy, any cabinet, any room, office, whatever you're going to sell to a guy, you don't need to clean it at all. And therefore, you just put a little label on the door to the closet or door to the room, whatever it is, sold to a guy, that's it. You don't need to do anything else for that room. However, any place that you plan on being for Shabbos, or sorry, for Yom Tov, that you're not going to sell, so that you need to check to make sure there's not a kezias or more chametz in that area. Now, if you want a kasher, to kasher your sink, if it's a metal sink or a stove top, you don't use it for 24 hours, and then you pour boiling water over it, clean it well, and pour boiling water over it, then you've kashered it. But if it's porcelain, ceramic, you can't kasher that. You should put an insert in your sink. Ovens are very tricky, very hard to clean. If you have a self-clean oven, great. Put it on self-clean mode, it's good to go. If it's not a self-clean oven, it's better to buy a small oven and use that just for Pesach. To kosher an oven is very hard. And if you have to, we'll talk privately about it, but better to avoid that. As far as your refrigerator and your countertops, there the letter of the law requires just clean it out really well. And on the countertops, pour boiling water. If you don't want to do that, what you need to do is just clean the countertops and cover it. Even without the boiling water, you don't need the boiling water if you're going to cover it. So clean the countertops and cover, or clean it well and pour boiling water on it. The refrigerator, clean it well. You don't need to cover it if you're going to clean it well. If you're not going to clean it well, then you should cover it. Okay, so that's the refrigerator, clean well or cover. The countertops, clean well with boiling water or cover. The stovetop, kosher. The way you kosher that is clean it very well. I forgot to say this. Clean it very well and then turn the burners on. Turn the burners on the highest and put a blech over it. That way the heat will go all over and will burn out everything for like 10 minutes. That's how you clean a stovetop. And the sink, you don't use it 24 hours and pour boiling water in if it is a metal sink. If it's not a metal sink, you cannot kosher the sink, put in an insert. Kiddush cups. Kiddush cups that you use for the whole year round, you do hagala with them, which means put them in a pot while the wood is boiling, drop it in, and take it out whenever you can. It doesn't have to stay in there for any amount of time. 1 second's long enough. That's called hagala. That's where you'll kasher your metal kiddush cup. If you have a ceramic kiddush cup, don't use it. Yes, Rich?
Washing cups?
Washing cups, great question. You do not need to kasher them because you never ate out of them. You never put chametz in them. However, they do hang around on the chametz counter. You should clean them well. Just clean it well and you're good to go. We happen to have our own Pesach one, but it's a chumrah. It's not obligatory. Just definitely want to clean it well. Now, as far as shampoo, everything I'm about to say right now, they're all kosher for Pesach, okay? All shampoos, all soaps, all makeups, all perfumes, all deodorants, they're all kosher to Pesach. Even if the books say differently, they're all kosher. I do recommend getting a new lipstick for Yontif, not for the guys here, but for the girls here. Get a new lipstick for Yontif because there may be some crumbs, whatever it is. So new lipsticks, but all the makeups and perfumes are all kosher to Pesach. Towels, hand towels, dish towels. Yes, Nachum. Hand towels, dish towels. Just wash them well with detergent and they're fine. Clothing, as long as the clothing went through the wash with a detergent, if they went through the wash with a detergent, you don't need to check the clothing. Any clothing that did not go through the wash with detergent, you must check the pocket because sometimes at a kiddush, you may stick in a little piece of cake or someone else stuck in a piece of cake. So you need to check all your pockets. But anything that went through the wash with detergent, does not need to check. Yes, Levy?
Sorry, Rebbe, I just got to jump in for a second. Someone's not on mute, and I'm ready to kill them. So if you're not on mute, just if you want to save yourself.
My friend who's in a car right now, and I'm glad he joined us. So take it easy on him. Okay. Anyway.
Levy, you can settle down for a second. I wanted to ask a question. That's why I took myself off mute.
That's why you're on the air. What's up?
I had a question. If Rebbe just said that everything is kosher, makeup, all those stuff are kosher, then why the heck is there a book saying that half the stuff are not kosher?
Good question. I will not say publicly why there is a book. Now, next, as far as your svarim, you do not need to check your svarim for chametz. They're all good because you cannot fit a piece of kazayas in any sefer. However, if you're going to bring a sefer to the table, your Pesach table, then you absolutely should shake it out before you bring it to the table. So to check them beforehand, you don't need to do. If you're gonna bring it to the table, then you should check it first. Kiki,
Rebbe.
This is not a private setting because this goes viral. This year is like listened to by thousands of people. So I cannot, you know, say anything on the air. Yes.
What about like organic shampoos and stuff like that? I'm it's assuming fine. The reason
the
was edible.
The problem behind it is it's not edible. Even the organic shampoos are not edible. I dare you, okay? It's not edible. Even if you have Corona Pras because you don't taste anything, but otherwise they're not edible and don't try it.
Rebbe, the whole book Rebbe thing that you're talking about bringing it to the table, yeah. You're talking about on Pesach. If you think you're going to take the book, then before you bring it to your table, open it. Are you saying if you think that you're going to bring the book on Pesach, check before Pesach?
You don't need to check before Pesach. On Pesach, it's now. In the middle of Pesach, you want to bring a sefer to the table? Shake it out before you bring it to the table.
Got it. Because it's not going to be a kazayas, so you don't have to worry about
not
it.
Not going to be kazayas. You just don't want to eat the crumbs, and therefore you don't want to come to the table. Lady, you're on the air.
There are certain shampoos that like have mamish chametz in it, like oatmeal and stuff. Not That's edible. Also okay.
Not edible. So it's okay. Now, the last thing is as far as medicines, all pills are fine. Syrups may contain kidneys. So if you're Ashkenazi, we don't eat kidneys. Those need to be checked. For that, you need a book. You need to know. But the pills, the actual pills are all fine. Toothpaste and mouthwash, since they go in your mouth, that you should check for. That you should check the lists to see which toothpaste and mouthwashes are good. Okay, that's as far as cleaning, getting rid of everything before Pesach. Vitamins, good question.
Bill Goldberg.
One second.
Vitamins
are a good question. I want to get back to you on that one. I think they're okay. I personally don't take any vitamins on Pesach because of this question. But I will try to double check what the status of vitamins are. Yes, Pinchas. Pinchas, you're on the air.
My question was vitamins, yeah.
Okay, great. Look at that. Rich and Pinchas, right on. Okay, that's as far as cleaning. Now, getting to-
What about toothbrush?
Toothbrush, the minhag is to switch and get a new toothbrush. You don't really have to. If you clean it out, that's fine. There's nothing there. It's the minhag has always been to switch toothbrushes around Pesach time, like once a year or however often. But letter of the law, if you can't get a new toothbrush, just clean it out good because you've never used it with hot water. It's never absorbed anything. And if you see there's nothing there.
Cool.
Okay. Now, I recommend everyone to sell chametz with the rabbi. Even if you think you have, you don't have, it doesn't matter. Just sell your chametz with the rabbi. That will solve many shilas that come up during and after Pesach. A. B. We do bittul chametz, which we spoke about last week, which is nullifying. Everyone should do that, whether you think you have or you don't have, do it. So you're going to do it by night, by the bedika, and again, by day. Normally, it's the day after. This year, it'll be on Shabbos. But definitely sell your chametz. Definitely do bittul. Now, besides those two things, we also do bedikas chametz. But bedikas chametz somewhat seems a little bit anticlimactic because you've already cleaned this house. You know there's nothing there. Still, we do bedikas chametz. The way it works is the night before, we spoke about the night, this year's be Thursday night, you make a bracha on it's on bir chametz, that's the bracha we make. Do not talk before you start your bedika or during the bedika, unless it's required for the bedika, like you need to ask someone, where did you check this, what's this? Then you can do it, but do not talk about other stuff during the bedika. So it's a bracha, then check. Now, what are you checking for? You pretty much check this whole house anyway. So you're just checking to make sure you checked. Meaning, go through everything. Did I check that? Did I check that? Did I check that? Did I check that? It could take 5 minutes. It doesn't have to take the whole night. You're checking to make sure that you've checked everything. And it, along the way, you may realize, oh my, I forgot that cabinet. So then check that cabinet and make sure there's no kazayas of anything in that cabinet. And that's what a bedika is. We put 10 pieces of bread around. It's better for someone else to put them around because if you put them around, it's not really fun to try and find them. But if you're going to put them around, make sure you know where they were put, right? You don't want to hide it so well that you don't find it until Pesach, that would kind of defeat the purpose. So you want to make sure that whoever's hiding them knows where they're hiding them. And that's that. Now, as far as the Seder night.
But do they need to be a kazayas?
Good question, Kenny. Together, they should be a kazayas. Each one should be less than a kazayas. And the lumdis is, you want to do a bedika to find the kazayas, but in case you mess up and you actually lose one, At least the one that you lost is less than the kazayas, so it's not a big deal that you lost it. Cool. Okay, gotcha, get it. Yeah, so 10 pieces that combine a kazayas, two a kazayas, but each one less than. Okay, the Seder night, you ideally want to have red wine. If you can, white wine. If you can, grape juice. In that order, what you can do is color the white wine to be red. If you are like loving a certain white wine, so then you can color it a little bit with red. Don't color it on Yom Tov. Better color it in advance. Or there are ways to do it if you want. We can talk about it. But ideally, you want to go for red wine. Now, the cup for Kiddush and for the Dalet Kaseis should hold a revius at least. A revius is 3.3 ounces, around 98 milliliters. That's a more lenient opinion, but we can go with that. If you need more lenient, give me a call. But ideally, you want to aim for 3.3 ounces. That's what the cup should hold. You ideally want to drink the whole cup to each of the four kosos. If you can't drink the whole cup, at least majority of the cup, okay? So the cup should hold 3.3 ounces, 98 milliliters. Try drink the whole thing. If you can't, drink half of it. And you want to drink it as quick as you can. Not in one gulp. That's like ridiculous. But two gulps, three gulps, and drink it pretty quickly. For sure, less than 4 minutes, but ideally less than 30 seconds. Okay, that's the Dalet Kaseis. As far as the matzah goes, so what is a kazayas of matzah? It obviously will depend on how big your matzah is. Combined is about a matchbox. Loosely, what it is a hand matzah, 1/7 of a hand matzah is the smallest shita, up to a half. So machlok is what a kazayas is. Somewhere between 1/7 and the half of a hand matzah is a kazayas. And now you're supposed to have 5 kazayasim Seder night. And here's the way this goes. When you make hamotzi lechem min haaretz and al achilas matzah, right in the beginning, you want to have 2 kazayasim. You want to have 2 kazayasim. I'll explain in a second, Rich. You want to have 2 kazayasim. When you have korech, the sandwich, you want to have 1 kazayas. And at the end, by afikomen, you want to have 2 kazayasim again. And therefore, 2, 1, 2, which would be 2/7 to a whole matzah in the beginning, 1/7 to a half a matzah for korech, and at the end, again, 2/7 to a whole matzah, 2, 1, 2. A hand matzah, it means hand shmura matzah, made by hand as opposed to made by machine. Those are the circular ones. So ideally, you want to get shmura matzah, ideally hand matzah. If it's not accessible, so then you get the machine matzah. By the machine matzah, a half a machine matzah is a kazayas. Okay, a half a machine matzah. That's what you want to aim for, and you want to try and finish it again in less than 4 minutes. If you can't, 6 minutes, 8 minutes, but definitely not more than 8 or 9 minutes. But ideally, you want to finish as quick as you can without choking or hurting yourself. Okay, that is the kazayas. Now, maror, also kazayas of maror initially, around the matchbox size, condensed. So if you're going to have lettuce or you're going to have the actual grated maror, you want to condense it to be around a matchbox size. And then also, again, in the korech sandwich, also another kazayas in the korech sandwich. Karpas, you want to eat less than a kazayas. So you make a hadama on the karpas, on the celery, the radish, the potato, or the parsley. You want to make a hadama on that. Have in mind the maror that's going to come later. So you're making hadama on the karpas, having in mind the maror that's going to come in an hour or two, you have it in mind. And ideally, you want to eat less than a kazayas of the karpas. Afikomen, you want to eat before chatzos. Chatzos is midnight. You have to check the calendars, whether it's 12:30, it's never 12 o'clock exactly, but you want the halakhic midnight is ideally when you want to finish the afikomen by. And the men recline. They lean on their left for the matzah and for the wine and not for the maror. It's most women do not have the custom to lean. If you do have that custom, fine. If you don't, then don't. If you don't have any custom, then don't. A maror, you want to have a kazayas of maror originally, meaning after the matzah, then comes the maror. You have a kazayas of maror then. You dip it in the
process. Kazayas of maror is bitter herbs.
Correct.
You have a kazayas of like horseradish?
Yes, my friend.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. A kazayas of maror. Right. Not a taste. Now, if you find that hard, okay, and it may be hard, that I recommend getting romaine lettuce. Romaine lettuce is halakhically maror. And therefore, if you have a hard time with the horseradish, get that. Now, if you feel like you're cheating, because come on, what's the big deal? So then sprinkle a little horseradish on your lettuce. And that way you'll be able to finish the lettuce and have a kazayas of lettuce, and it'll still have the flavor of mar. Okay, that's that. The minhag is for married men to wear a kittel. Even during the first year of marriage, you can wear a kittel. And you can say the Haggadah in any language that you want. And the last thing is, this year, the Seder is Saturday night, which makes Kiddush super duper tricky. Kiddush is going to have Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, Havdalah, and Shechianu, all in Kiddush. That's what you're going to have in Kiddush. Now, the way you do that is, one second, right? The way you do that is you're going to light Shabbos candles. You light Shabbos candles. Your wife or you will light Shabbos candles before you make Kiddush. Now you have Shabbos candles lit. You say L'halik Ner Shel Yontif, and you make a Shechianu. That's what whoever's lighting the candle, if the women are lighting candles, you have to make this clear. If women are lighting candles, when your men come home from shul, after Tzeisach Ochavim, Saturday night, after three stars are out, the women will light Yontif candles. L'halik Ner Shel Yontif and say Shechianu. If the men are lighting the candles, just say L'halik Ner Shel Yontif and not Shechianu, because they're going to say Shechianu in Kiddush. Then you make Kiddush. You make Agafen and Kiddush. And then it's time to do Borei Marei Ha'esh. Now here's the trick. How do you do Borei Marei Ha'esh? You can't light a Havdalah candle because you can't blow out the Havdalah candle. So you have three options. Option one is go with your fingers over to the Shabbos candles, the Yontif candles. Don't touch them. Just put your fingers into individual candles. One time, even though they're single candles, just put your fingers by the candles. That's choice one. Choice two is to put two Yontif candles together. Join them up together so it'll be a double flame, and then put your fingers by them. That may cause halakhic issues because you may extinguish them. That may not be the preferred method. So I would rather you not do that. Better to just put your fingers by an individual Shabbos candle. Or choice three is to buy or make one of these guys. This guy is what's called a fancy schmancy candle. It's a double wicked tea light. A double wicked tea light, which you can buy for 6 shekel, or you can make it yourself. I made it last year myself. All you do is take 2 tea lights, pull out the wick from one of them, and make a little hole in the other guy and stick that wick up. And that way you'll have 1 tea light with 2. Then you could light that and it sits for 2 hours. And then when you get to Berei Marei Ha'esh, you can stick your hands by that. Yes, Rich.
Where do you get fire from on Motzei Shabbos?
Thank you very much. I forgot to mention that. The way you get fire from Motzei Shabbos is 2 choices. You either have a gas range that has a fire and you transfer that fire through a wick, take a candle and transfer it. Or you light a yahrzeit candle before Shabbos that will last more than 24 hours. You want to make it last 26 hours or 48 hours and use that fire and transfer. But you're not allowed to strike a match. You can use a match to transfer, but you cannot strike a match and you cannot extinguish any candle or extinguish any fire. Those are the rules, okay? That is Hilchos Pesach in a wrap. Now we'll get to a few other topics in our remaining time. Okay, bitachon. So if there are any other shilas, feel free to call, email, ask. Bitachon. So we've been discussing the last few weeks the concept of doing hishtalis and remembering is all from Hashem, but you have to do your hishtalis. The Chayvus HaLevav is now this week focuses after it's done, meaning you made your money or you didn't make your money. You got sick or you got better. How are you supposed to look backwards? Meaning, are you supposed to have tremendous gratitude to that person who healed you, to the person who gave you the parnasa, or have tremendous hatred for that person who caused you to get sick, who caused you to lose your money? And his focus there is, after the fact, you also have to realize it's all from Hashem. That whatever has happened was from Hashem. It wasn't this magical doctor who is just this unbelievable guy. He may have been a very good shliach, right? He may have been a very good messenger from Hashem. That's all he is. He is the messenger. And you don't kill the messenger. You also don't love the messenger. It goes both directions. At the end of the day, all he was the middleman. And therefore, whenever you get better or you get your money, whatever it is, a certain level of gratitude perhaps is due for everyone. But at the end of the day, to realize that it was a gezeirah from Hashem that this would happen for the good or for not the good. In tefillah, a thought in davening, we say in Shema, Mitzavcha Hayoyim. In Shema, right, Hashem commanded us today. So Rashi brings the Gemara. What does it mean, Hayoyim? It means every day you have to internalize or feel as if we were at Har Sinai on that day, at that moment, getting the Torah. And the same way we were enthused, so excited. Whoa, it's so cool. The same way the Bali Tshuva, right? The first day they keep Shabbos is so Gishmak. The same way, whenever you do start something, it's really great. Every day we should view it like that. And it's really hard, but that's what we say every day to remind us in case we like missed the point. Mitzavcha Hayoyim. Every day we say those words to try and internalize as if we just got it today. It should be new. It should be Gishmak. It shouldn't be just routine and boring. So you can have that in mind in Shema. All right, this week's Parsha is Vayakel and Pekudei, a short var on Vayakel. It's interesting, we're building the Mishkan, and still the Torah says, do not build a Mishkan on Shabbos. No matter how important the Mishkan is, which it is, don't build it on Shabbos. Mashiach in the base of Mikdash will not be Mechal Shabbos. It will not come on Shabbos. Because no matter how much we want Hashem to be residing amongst us, Shabbos comes first. Yet, when it comes to saving someone's life, we push away Shabbos. So here you see the hierarchy. You see a Jewish life is so precious, it pushes away Shabbos. Shabbos is so precious, it pushes away Mashiach and the building of Beis HaMikdash. Just get an idea of the hierarchy of importance of things. On Pekudei, at the end, in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, it says the word Mishkan twice. Eilu Pekudei says Mishkan, Mishkan. Rashi says, why is it Mishkan, Mishkan? So Rashi says it's an allusion to the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, the two Bate Mikdash, and they're going to be destroyed. Why now we're discussing building the Mishkan, building it? Why are we discussing the destruction? It's like so morbid. Hi, you're building the thing. Just, by the way, it's going to get destroyed. Like, why are we discussing that now? So the Noam Elimelech says that the same love and Hashkacha Pratis, the individual connection you feel at the time of building, it's still there at the time of destruction. And it ties into the bitachon ideas that when the destruction comes, it's the same Hashem who loves us, who's doing that to us. And therefore, when you're building something, you're so enthused and excited about it, you realize it. Oh, right now you should remember, also at the time that's going to be destroyed, it's the same love and affection that Hashem has for you also during destruction. And we'll end off with something for Pesach, a big yisoid, a big principle, what we should have in mind during the Seder, during Pesach. And I'll tell you like this, we were slaves to Paro. We were Avdei Paro, slaves to Paro. And what happened? We now became slaves to Hashem. We went from being Avdei Paro to being Avdei Hashem. But it's like you were traded from the Yankees to the Mets, from the Bulls to the Knicks. All that happened was is like you would change the owner. But that's not what's really happening, right? In sports, that's what happens. You were owned by him and now you're owned by him. Over here is completely different. It wasn't just the owner changed. The whole servitude has changed. I'll explain like this. When you are a slave to Paro or you're a slave to your boss, how's it work? You really are doing everything you want to do because you want to do it. Just you're gonna make sure it doesn't upset the owner. It doesn't upset the boss. I'm not gonna trample on his rules. But you really are doing what you wanna do and you just don't want it to clash with the owner. That's what we were Mitzrayim. Do we love Paro? No. Do we wanna do our work for him, our servitude to him because we wanted to do what he wanted? No. We wanna do what we wanted and just survive and therefore not step on Paro's toes. But now we're taking out Mitzrayim. the avdus has completely changed. We're now an eved to Hashem. We're taken out to serve Hashem. What does that mean? It's not that we do what we want and try not to go against the rules. It's we try everything that we do should be what Hashem wants. When we're pouring water right now in our kitchen, Levi, we're pouring water to drink because Hashem gave us the ability and wants us to drink and make a bracha on it. When we walk to shul, when we do anything we do, it is in the service of God. It's not that we do what we want and try to make it work with God. If you're doing like that, you're still a slave to Pyro. Instead of calling him Pyro, you're calling him God. I'm doing what I want. I just don't want it to be against God. That's a level. That's a low level. The idea was we're trying to up it, trying to up our avdus, our slavery, to be Eved Hashem. And that's why it took 50 days. It took 50 days from the time we left Mitzrayim to get the Torah, to do that transformation, to go from being an Eved to Pyro to Eved Hashem. I was once discussing with someone, what are my goals of the day? I had the same goal every day, every second, to do what Hashem wants from me at that second. That's the goal. That's what an Eved Hashem is. An Eved Pyro isn't to do every second what Pyro wants, but an Eved Hashem is every second, and that's what changed from Mitzrayim to coming out and have a great Shabbos, a great Yom Tov, and we'll be in touch about after Yom Tov. Bye-bye.